This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
And we are back here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side, and MGo Blog Roundtable crew with us as they are every Thursday. Sans Brian Cook this morning, who is under the weather, so feel better, Brian. But joining us, his right and left hand men, we have to my left on the screen, Craig Ross. How you doing? Virginia Tech, where are you? Bringing up the Virginia Tech.
Well, it's Scott Leffler and his coaching journeys. Whenever he was at a new school, his wife Amy would send me some gear from the school. So he was at Virginia Tech for a year or two. So I got that. I got some BC stuff, some Florida stuff. Any event, that's where that comes from.
Okay.
You got to introduce Seth first. And since Brian isn't here, I have a slight frolic and detour.
Of course you do. Good morning, Seth Fisher. How are you?
Morning. I think Brian's sick because he's upset that I'm going to be leaving him to take the Bentley job. Because there's a curator position opened up.
Oh, I saw that. If I was younger, man, I would sure be interested in that. Like, but they would hire me.
If I didn't have the only secure job in sports writing, I'd probably be very interested in that position.
Yeah. So, well, Craig Ross.
A master's degree in archiving, all that stuff. It's that's an impressive resume there, Seth.
You know what?
So where are you taking us, Craig, before we get off?
Well, in the sport, you know, before these shows, I tend to become reflective because what am I going to talk about today? And, you know, when it's this time of year when it isn't obvious. And in my dotage, some of these things pop into my head in particular. And that when I was growing up in Lorain, Ohio, there was an establishment called the CZECH Grill. Right. And in the ordinary world, that's pronounced Czech, you know, the Czech grill. Everywhere else in the civilized world is a Czech grill, not in Lorain, Ohio. Everyone, and I didn't think about this as a kid, everyone called it the Zech grill. Now, I know it wasn't really the Zech grill, but that's just what people, and I don't know in retrospect if it was because Lorain wasn't a particularly sophisticated place, you know, which it isn't, or if Lorainites were just making fun of themselves by calling the Czech grill the Zech grill.
Or you are in Ohio, so just leave it at that.
Yeah, right. I know. Well, you know, and in this town in Ohio, you know, the most famous person born there was Mothra. So I mean, I don't know. This thought crossed through my head, and you can't. Sometimes you just assume things, right?
This is a weird thing that happens in linguistics called spelling pronunciation, which only happens in highly literate societies. So it's a very recent thing to occur. But it's like how people start pronouncing the word often, right?
Often, yeah.
And that happens because we've seen the word written. So now we are going back to the way it was pronounced back in like the medieval days and like old English times, because that T disappeared shortly after they figured out how to write it down, or they wrote it down that way.
Oh my goodness.
So it's called spelling pronunciation. That's what you're talking about.
And so what made you reflect upon this, Craig? I mean, what led you down this path?
you know, it's strange things happen when you get old. You'll figure this out. And all of a sudden I was thinking, how come everyone in Lorraine pronounced the Czech grill the Zech grill? And was it just we were that stupid, or was it that we were just making that much fun of ourselves? Now, I will say, as to the latter, there was a Lorraine High School basketball cheer. Maybe I mentioned this before. And, you know, it would be someone was at the free throw line, and it didn't even matter what the guy's name was, but it would be, see that basket, see that rim, come on, Stan, put it in there. Right. There was always this pause after put it in to go to the there, and it was always Stan. And I don't even know if there was ever a basketball player at Lorraine High School named Stan. But in any event, so that made me, I put those things together because I thought, you know, maybe it, that there was a certain sense of irony or self-deprecation in calling the Czech grill the Zech grill. And that's so, what I'd like to think, at least.
So today, the lesson today was about brain erosion. Last week was about butt erosion. Greg Ross, I got you. But I think you're making fun of Ohio. That's what I think you were doing. And yeah. It's easy to make fun of Ohio, especially this week after, you know, Gene Smith placating the crowd. Yes, they deserve an asterisk. To me, that buries the lead down in Ohio. The lead was, at least to me, we talked about this yesterday on Dimes. I don't know if you guys talked about it on the blog, but the commentary on one Mr. Chip Kelly. Now, whether you believe Shady McCoy to be a good source or Deshaun Jackson to be a credible witness, there are corroborating stories out there. Jason Peters called into their podcast. We had Jason Avant's brother dropped in on Dimes yesterday, saying, hey, my brother didn't like Chip Kelly either. So it seems to me that the narrative on Chip Kelly is not sunshine and rainbows like the Buckeyes like to have you believe it is, fellas. It's closer. Well, I didn't even say it was what Shady. I just said he's a guy who is soft.
Sam, nobody ever played for a Kelly because they liked him. All right, Chip Kelly is not there to be all soft and cuddly and beloved, okay? He's there because they don't know how to run the freaking ball, which is kind of an important thing in football, as Ohio State has found out the last 3 years, because Michigan just sits back and covers six, and they have the best passing offense that college football has ever seen for 3 years running, and they can't beat Michigan. That's what he's doing there. Same with Brian Kelly. Nobody likes that guy. No one's going to LSU because Brian mentioned last week, right, where Brian Kelly is complaining that, oh, we don't have the money, you know, that we're not going to pay players. And that's why, because they couldn't get one of the Michigan State guys because someone outbid them. So what do? They outbid us for someone else, right? No one plays for those guys because they like them. And I don't think that if we're worried about Ohio State, we're less worried about Ohio State because Chip Kelly's unliked. That's not the reason, okay? No one's ever going to like that. I think it's more interesting that Coach BJ left there, the guy that was at Michigan State and got them all those defensive line recruits.
Like, he was there for like 3 months, right?
Yeah, and he departs for nothing. I don't know if he has another job lined up or anything. He just left. That's a little bit more of a what's going on there kind of thing.
He's supposed to be this guy that is going to for an offense that has been wildly successful, outside of obviously against doing what they need to do against Michigan. Hey man, they had a series last year, Ryan Day. You remember that series where they ran the ball like seven straight times?
Sure.
It was like seven, it was touchdown. It was like, hey, wow, that looked like Michigan. That looked like Michigan, but
I got news for you. They just got away with a lot of holding on that drive.
That may be
I broke down the film. It wasn't like the only time, but they were just – that was a point in the game where they're just like, okay, let's just cheat our butts off and see what happens.
I don't look at Chip Kelly as a guy who's going to come in there and teach them something or do something outside of what they've been doing already.
He is. No, if you watch their spring game, it was very Chip Kelly. That, no, it's real because Chip Kelly knows how to use the quarterback's legs, but Michigan has been doing to Ohio State is we've been playing a light box. Right now, they got five offensive linemen, a tight end, a quarterback, and a running back in there. Okay? We've got six guys against those eight. But Ohio State makes it just 7-on-6 because they don't use their quarterback's legs. And if you just make that a threat, we've seen, you tell that Michigan-Penn State game in 2022 when Michigan all of a sudden made JJ's legs part of the offense and everything breaks open. You just it's too much to take care of it at all at once. And now they couldn't do it with Stroud. They weren't doing it with McCord, but they definitely got a guy who can run this year. And I think that they looked at what was wrong with their rushing offense, and they said our quarterback, we're just giving them a guy in the box.
Yeah.
So we got to play more like Urban Meyer. I don't have to come reinvent the wheel and change how we use the quarterback. We're going to be more pro-like.
I'm saying if you're worried that Wink is playing too much cover one man and putting eight in the box, he looks too Don Brown, well, guess what? That's how you beat that. You Don Brown them. And then you ask their – the only thing is that leaves your cornerbacks out there with the receivers. But the thing is, you know, our cornerbacks are, what, Jahir Hill and Charles Woodson 2.0? Like, if we're a little different at cornerback than we were when we had to make this shift in 2021. And, you know, Turner turned out fine in 2021, but the other cornerback spot had to be protected, and our safety spot had to be protected. Michigan's a lot more athletic in the secondary. I know that they took some hits this offseason that we shouldn't have, but, you know, they're more athletic than they were before. They might be able to man up a bit. Now, Ohio State's receivers are good. It's going to be a game. It's not going to stay put. The metagame is not staying put. Ohio State has finally recognized what they were doing wrong, and they're going to move to something else. Yeah. Now, the question is, did they just go right back to being Urban Meyer again?
Yeah, so with a quarterback scenario, that is much different. I mean, it might just be out of necessity. I don't know if they're necessarily doing it by choice as opposed to what the talent is that they have at quarterback right now. Sort of demands that's the route that you go because you don't have C.J. Stroud or even Kyle McCord as a thrower back there, as a passer back there anymore. So maybe this is what they have to do.
Possibly. I mean, they got Julian Sayin as well. So, if they bring that guy along, Michigan game's not till the end of the season. But, you know, Ohio State can't really afford to take losses. They've got a much easier schedule than Michigan. So, I mean, they could probably lose two games in the Big Ten, beat Michigan, and still come back and win just because the way things set up for them. They just have the easiest schedule of all the Big Ten contenders by about two games. So, I mean, they do have the luxury, if they want to kind of wait for Sand to come along and do what they've been doing before. But we looked at that spring game. That's not that doesn't look like what they're doing. It looks like they're going to a Chip Kelly offense, and they're going to see if Michigan uses the same approach. And my guess is they're not.
Right. I think they want people to be watching a bunch of New York Giants tape, right? You know, that'd be ideal. That'd be ideal.
I mean, I watched a bunch of Giants tape because I was like, okay, what happened to Wink? And was Mike McDonald like the brains behind this thing all the time or something? And no, it was – they kept on putting them in the worst positions. Like, they kept on getting the ball at, like, you know, their own 35-yard line. Or they're giving the other team the ball because they turn it over so many times. And then if you're on the 35, you have to blitz. You have to go nuts because they're either going to score three – you know, they're already in field goal range unless you can knock them back a little bit. Right? So that's when you have to play like that. And if you're field position does determine how you play in the NFL a lot. And I think that Wink naturally does like to blitz more than the other guys. I think that's been demonstrated. I think he's going to blitz a bunch here. I think he might blitz too much and we might get upset about it. But he does have different personnel, very much so. Especially with Rod Moore getting hurt and him not being out there now. You don't have Samer still anymore. You don't have the guys that really made us an elite pass defense by switching and having coverage last as long as possible. It's going to be a different format.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to not play as much. Man, I think he'll make that adjustment. You raise a point that if I'm looking at this team and – Yeah, you know, talking about what my biggest concern is, it would be corner depth.
Yeah.
You know, corner depth has is basically non-existent from an experience standpoint. You're going to need some guys to grow up. Like Jair, time is now. That was a key hold, if you will, because the poaching was unbelievable. The poaching attempts were unbelievable.
It's not changed. Cornerback and defensive tackle are where you cannot fake talent. You can't teach a guy to play those positions better. You know, the only times we've ever gotten a cornerback who was not good as soon as he stepped on the field is because the guy was injured or something like that. Like DJ Turner had a leg injury and they had to work that. And once he was better, he was a much different player. That's very, very rare. You know, you can develop guys in like a cover two system, but then that's what you're stuck doing. If you really want to have the talent to play the way that Texas wants to play or the way that Illinois wants to play, which, by the way, that guy from Texas is going to the most cover one team in the country. After getting, remember you asked me, what do you think of it? I'm like, I think he's fine as long as you give him some help in the middle of the field. And what? Where does he go?
I have no idea. I don't even know if it was funny talking to his dad about it. He said, talking about Terrence Brooks for those who aren't following.
He's going to Illinois, correct?
He's going to Illinois. It was his first visit. Mm-hmm. It was his first visit. I mean, the only thing that I can come up with is Illinois did an in-home, and I think, I don't know if the kid was in the in-home. I think they might have just done it with his parents. I have to get clear on that, but they did do an in-home. Michigan didn't do an in-home. There was a rapport maybe they established with Aaron Henry somewhat, but I'm listening, and I know a lot of Michigan fans were as well, and it's like, well, everyone, that NFL secondary they had a couple years ago, those were Ryan Walters. That's all Ryan Walters. Like, that's his secondary, right? Yeah. And then if you believe the NIL piece, that he had to go there for NIL. He didn't even make it to Michigan to hear the NIL pitch. If you think that was inconsequential, he didn't even go to USC. And USC gets down NIL-wise. So it makes you scratch your head about the NIL side of things. And then the pass rush. You talked about, you know, the pass rush. What pass rush in Illinois?
They lost their guy there.
Yeah.
And so if I'm scratching my head, you know, Michigan is banging their head. Like,
I see it. Now, it's hard to tell a player, hey, man, you know, you might need to be a little protected in man-to-man coverage. Because what does every cornerback who ever lived believe? That he's the greatest man-to-man cover guy that ever lived.
But see, not them. Not them. His dad was adamant about, you know, all this man they play, this with bail technique. And he was really harping on the fact that there was a DB coach there in Terry Joseph who didn't play football. You know, Terry Joseph was a baseball player. And so he said, my son's getting coached by a guy who didn't play football. Mm-hmm. You know, he needs to go play for a coach who's actually coached the game, can teach scheme, can teach technique. But then there was like, Illinois didn't even have a DB coach until, of course, Corey Parker gets hired over there. And I don't know if that was the thing that they knew that was hovering in the background. I love Corey. That is my guy. Love him. Really good hire. But, I mean, what's around you? That was a 5-7 football team last year. That's one of the most perplexing ones that I've seen.
Maybe they're changing their style. Who knows? But that was I know what the problem was with that guy, with that player, and then like you're walking into that. It was maybe they're changing their defense this year.
Sam, I mean, along these lines, where is Michigan looking right now? I mean, they lost McLean, right, to Florida.
Well, so I wouldn't characterize it as a loss.
A loss. Okay.
They talked to him. They talked to his agent. They were feeling out whether he was a fit. I know several conversations, but it wasn't like if they wanted Cormani McLean to visit last week, Cormani McLean would have visited last week. Okay. They were dotting their I's and crossing their T's about, hey, we got to make sure this dude fits in the locker room. I know some fans might say beggars can't be choosers, but they are very, Sharon is very much about not just adding talent. We're going to make sure that they fit. And so very, very talented guy. Don't know if the narrative out there that Deion put out there is absolutely right. But it's it was out there enough to not just take a flyer and say, come on in on a visit. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, and Wesley Walker is not a safety, right? He's not a corner.
He's a safety of the safeties that they're looking at. He's probably the best cover guy. And they're, you know, it's funny. And I mentioned this in the recruiting roundup. So I talked to his stepdad. I talked to Wesley. He was in the airport yesterday heading to LSU. You know, the thing is, so he goes on the USC visit. He visits Michigan and has a great visit. You know, I think his mom, and I think his girlfriend came too. Don't hold me to that. I think it was his girlfriend. Comes on a visit, has a great visit. Terrific visit. And there were some rumblings that he was getting closer to a decision. And talking to his stepdad about it, who before the visit was like, we'll see how it goes. After the visit, his tone was like, hey, man, I'm talking to my wife, talked to Wes, and he had a great visit. I actually held his strongest quote back. I held it back. I'm going to put it on the message board a little bit later. But I held it back because I was like, man, this is too suggestive. If people read this, they're going to think this dude is about to pop. And I just knew that USC and especially LSU, not done. And those are two programs who I believe are working the package deal angle. His stepbrother, Tyler Barron, also transferring from Tennessee to Louisville, back in the portal, looking at SC, looking at LSU. I think they're talking about trying to get them to come together. I don't know how much of a factor that is, but something just told me, man, like, let's wait to see how LSU comes back. And sure enough, he's taking a visit down to LSU right now. So,
LSU can't compete with Michigan. They don't have enough money.
Well, they got JVR Suggs. got JVR Suggs, and I definitely think that was, well, listen, I figure Brian Kelly, he dug in the couches. He filed some things.
I mean, that one played, the way that played out was just so like, okay, we don't have the money for, well, we put up enough to get, that they thought they were going to get the Michigan State guys. And then they kind of look around and like, okay, who's Michigan looking at? Right? Like that's why I was about to get mad at Craig here when he asked you, like, who else is Michigan looking at? Stop telling us, Sam. I don't want to hear another name. All right? No, right. You're like, oh, this is my job, Seth. I have to do this. No.
Well, listen, I took a cue because I was like, man, if I completely quote this dude's dad, people are gonna be like, he's coming to Michigan. It's like, no. Let's not do that. Let's wait to see. Let's let some things play out. Now that he's on the visit to LSU, I'll print it on the message board so you can see and kind of. If he's telling me that, you know, what they're telling Michigan. So what Michigan must think, and now we have to see if that's going to hold up with his visit down to LSU, because we know how LSU gets down. So, that's a long way to get back to what we were talking about. I think they're going to land a couple of these safeties. Like, if they don't get Wes Walker, which I think coming out of that visit, I think it's fair to say he was a Michigan lean, at least. That lean may not last. LSU might flip that, but I think they wind up getting two of the three of Wes Walker, Cam Broussard, and Jaden Mangum. Right. So safety will be adequately fortified. That will allow you to play Zeke Berry at nickel. And okay. I think they felt like in the spring, Zeke Berry was their best nickel. And hard to give a full accounting because Jay McBurrow's missed so much time in the spring. So, you know, where is he going to help the most? I think he's a wild card. You know, he can factor in.
He gives
can
you
he maybe help you at corner some.
I think he can play corner. I mean, I've seen him run, right? You've seen him play before. He's a little small, but, you know, if you're talking about your third corner, that gives you a lot more security, I think.
He's small, but he's a good tackler, it seems like, from what we've seen. In fact, he's an excellent tackler.
He's a really good tackler, but this defensive coaching staff hasn't really seen him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you can't – how much do you trust what you haven't seen?
Listen, Mikey Samerstall said stay tuned. I listen to Mikey.
I hear you.
Mikey says right he's a guy. I'm not saying I've been on Jaden McBurrow's forever. So
I like J-Mac too. Yeah. I like J-Mac too. I think that from a physicality standpoint, he is outstanding. how much coverage can you play with? How much coverage variation can you have with him? I think is an open question, and it's not me offering that as a criticism. I'm saying they don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't know because he missed a lot of time in the spring. So that's why I call him a wild card. He could be one of the ways in which you fortify two positions. The nickel spot, where I think they really like Zeke Berry. I think if they had their druthers, Zeke Berry would be the nickel, but you gotta get some safeties.
Yeah.
Some more safeties in order to make that happen. And maybe J-Mac can help you there and also help you a corner, because it's not just Jair that has to step up and be a dude. Like you need a couple other corners that you can rotate in there. So whether that's Jordan McBurrows or Jay McBurrows here, you still got Miles Pollard. Can he give you something? And then JoJo Edmond, one of my measures these days for DB talent. Hey, if you got an offer from Ryan Walters, I think you can play.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, you trust Mikey. Like, I trust that dude when it comes to DB.
Oh, yeah. Oh, until I think he finally won one against us, but until then, we were following him around and just doing the same thing, right? Like, oh, Ryan Walters likes that guy. Hey, you want to come to Michigan instead of Purdue? We've been picking that guy for years. I mean, we picked Jair Hill out of his pocket, right? He sure threw everything he had to get Jair Hill. Yeah, so, oh, no, I'm down with that, but, like, as a true freshman. Third corner, yeah, but, I mean, that's a true freshman. Kashawn Harris, we've seen him play a little bit too. He's still
he has.
Yeah. I've talked him up, yeah, as you recall, the last couple of years, and I think he's at least a competent corner, and maybe, you know, I like him.
Yeah, the players have been talking about him. So you talk about the players; they've been talking about him for over a year. He definitely has the speed to play. They talked about him really immersing himself in the position because he's an offensive guy to start. Really feels like he's settled into his own. He got a lot of snaps in the spring, so. I think he's going to get his opportunity. He's definitely in the mix.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I honestly don't know how that's going to shake. I just tell you, it's going to be a comp. JoJo Edmond, Jade McBurrows, Miles Pollard, Keyshawn Harris. And then if they can get, you don't want to hear any names, but Amir Hall, the guy, FCS All-American from Albany, was on campus yesterday. And then I got to confirm, but there was a group 5 guy that was supposed to be arriving on campus either today or tomorrow. I have to confirm that.
Right. I don't want to know his name, Sam.
I haven't mentioned his name because he committed to another.
No. School, from now on, I want you to play every recruitment like Reuben Jones. Just like the what? Just tell
Just
like 5 minutes before it happens, I want to hear about it just so I can have like enough time to like start writing an announcement for the site. But that's
and
it.
Sam,
that's
maybe you should give him some fake names. Yeah. Give him some fake names, some kids that they're not recruiting.
I get the frustration that this is, you expect for Michigan to come in off a national championship for it to just roll.
Right.
You know, you try to put your finger on the whys. NIL has something to do with it. New staff has something to do with it. Late start for the defensive coaches has something to do with it. I think there is an array of factors that, you know, sooner or later, all that has to settle down, especially as we get in the summer and camp season starts and you're getting more guys on campus and guys are in their decision windows. Guys are going to be making decisions in the summer, like Quincy Porter, for instance, who I think Michigan is in good shape with. So I feel like there's some more positive things on the horizon in recruiting and in the portal. Seth,
mm-hmm.
I think they're in good shape with Jaden Mangum.
I hear that. I hear that. And I just want you to keep that secret. You can tell me. But stop putting that out there, because now someone's going to learn that this guy's out there and we're going to, you know, and we'll be down to like one Groves guy again. I want.
Hey, I tell you one, I didn't tell you about that. I wish they could. Man, you know, my dream guy was Takario Davis.
Okay.
I just see a name I didn't mention.
No,
yeah. I didn't even mention that one before.
And now I know, and I would have been happy not knowing, Sam.
now you know, hey, there's no chance now. It's well after the fact. Mm-hmm. It was well after the fact. But that would have been the one. Anyway, I digress. It's been a bit of a you know, the once you get the upset stomach.
Yeah, I do wonder. I mean, you saw Colorado last year, but that's an extreme example. But how much do you get out of guys when you got them in a bidding war, right? Yeah. Like the portal's not old enough for us to see yet. Now, NFL does not have any problem with guys playing well after they've signed a big contract, right? Like if you go and get, you know, there's plenty of examples of signing a free agent and he's great. But college, it just feels a little different. And I just wonder some of these teams that have very clearly just went out there and said, okay, look, I'm just going to whoever's the biggest buyer. If you're not checking the fit, you know, we talked about the kid who's going to Illinois from Texas. If you're not checking the fit, and maybe that's going to work out for him because maybe they're changing their defense, but that's a big role in how players look in college.
See, I kind of feel like, I mean, what's fit for him?
Yeah.
What's fit? Because the easy assumption is he's just going for NIL. That's mm-hmm. the easy assumption, but then it's like he doesn't even go and check the NIL at other schools before
I'm not mad about him particularly. And there are some players out there who like you can build the team around. Like Caleb Downs that Ohio State got. Like you go and get that guy and you win the bidding war, that's probably worth the money. Whatever they paid for him, it's probably worth it because you can build your team around the things that guy can do that other people can't do. You get a guy like Will Johnson, right? Whatever they were offering him and Michigan had to match, it's worth it. You know, Mason Graham, there are guys who bend things. But then when you're talking about, you know, who do I need for my third safety and who do I need for my third cornerback and everything, or our third or fourth defensive tackle, you're looking for fit. You cannot have that guy sitting on the bench not being happy with his role. And that's a very hard thing to find. You're having these conversations. I'm having these conversations. Like, how come Michigan is not going out and just getting whoever they want? And it's like, well, you can't offer the starting defensive tackle job on this team, right? You probably can't offer a starting cornerback job on this team. You probably can't even offer a starting safety job on this team.
And see, that's what I – so as I kind of thought through it with the Terrence Brooks thing, because, hey, man, everybody's scratching it. Matt Zenas called me. He's like, dude, I was like, hey, man, hey, I can't give you any explanation.
Yeah.
He's like, I had him visit Michigan today. Yeah, he was supposed to visit Michigan, but his dad said we were about to visit Michigan. And dude was like, I don't want to take any more visits. The one thing other than maybe this in-home that I can come up with is maybe it was that he knows that he can go in there and he's going to start right now. Like at Michigan, he is going to have to compete with Jair. And they would have unique knowledge of Jair's ability because that was one of my plugs to his dad Chet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he played. There's a coach friend of mine who was a basketball coach where their sons played together, and I think it's like John Paul in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my link in, and it happens. And I got to him. I met him through Jair Hill's uncle.
Okay.
So that they know about Jair. They know about Jair's talent. They know about his upside. They know how good he is. They would be uniquely positioned to assess what would that look like competing with him. Now, I'm not saying that was the thing that did it, that made him go to Illinois, but I mean, so much of it doesn't make sense. It just, bro.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I could give you some.
I think there's a potential other explanation. Let's say let's say the kid goes to Illinois and they make him a Godfather offer and one you can't refuse. And the guy, and part of that engenders, it's on the table today. You go visit Michigan, it ain't there anymore.
Man, Illinois is not.
I don't know.
Even if you think Illinois can out NIL Michigan. I maybe there's some
in any individual case, maybe they can.
They are not going to out NIL USC. It's just not happening. Like, if you wanted to shop for the best NIL deal, you at least visit some other schools. So I can't put my finger on it.
Okay.
I don't know. If I'm Michigan, I'm still saying, hey, man, all he could do is tell you no twice. I'm still kicking that tire. Like, bro,
along these lines, I saw it was an OSU coach this week said that they had so much money, quote, that we will not be outbid for a player by anyone. That's what they said. That's a direct quote. We will not be outbid by marketing, anyone.
The marking on NIL is so funny to me because the people who are doing the people who are raising these funds, they are trying to get it out there that, hey, our guys get taken care of. Don't you worry, yeah. Our guys are taking care of. Don't worry, we pay just as well as any, as we pay the best. And you know, we're the greatest. We have more money than God. And then right. The schools are sitting there going, oh, no, and they're trying to tell the donors at the same time. Because you want the players to think, oh, guess what? The guys who come here, they make more money than anybody else. We're going to get you the best deals. We're going to get you set up. Right. We can't promise you everything that we're actually going to get you because we don't have the deal set up yet, but we're going to get you the deals. And then the coaches are out there, and the guys who need to raise the money are out there going like, oh, we're so poor. Oh, we can't get anything done. Yeah. So you got – it sounds like everyone's talking out both sides of their mouth, but it's different audiences. You're trying to tell the players we're flush, and then you're trying to tell the donors we're going to lose the entire team if you don't pack home pony up right now.
Yeah, right. And I guess the other factor to your point, maybe in some instances it's not just a dollar-for-dollar comparison. Even if you have the money to spend, can you, if it's going to upset like your, if it's going to upset your cap, yeah. Like if you have, if you're paying, you know, your starting corner X, can you pay this guy who's coming in, you know, three quarters of that? Can you, he just got here. What about the guys that are already here that are ready to compete for the job? Does that make them want to ask for more? It doesn't occur in a vacuum. So maybe there's some of that. You know, we can offer you more because you'd be the number one highest paid corner on our board, but you can't be the highest paid corner or even the number two paid corner on this board. I don't know. That's a bunch of speculation. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you know, along these lines also, Sam, and you had a great interview this week or two with Kyle Church and Drew Williamson, and the one of the quotes, I think this was from Kyle.
It was. I know what
you're saying. I mean, you know what I'm going to say? His quote, everyone we brought in could have made more money elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, do I love this basketball staff.
Well, listen, you know, the same thing applies. You know, all of Michigan's top guys could have made more on the open market.
Yeah.
There is no question that they left money on the table to stay. Mm-hmm. Now but I kept saying that, like, you got to be in the ballpark. You can't be completely out the game. Right. Like, you got to be in the ballpark. And that's what Michigan was able to do with their top guys. Like, they are absolutely taking it. Like, they are, you know, Will Johnson, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant. These dudes are not like in the soup line. Like, oh man, they're doing pretty well. And that's why it seemed consequential that, you know, Will and Terrence Brooks were talking. Like, they were communicating. Like, if you wanted to know, what is it like? What techniques do they coach? What's the scheme like? What's the coach like? What's the NIL like? Like, you got a guy who can offer you testimonials on all of those things, whereas you didn't have that in the past. Like, if you had some quarterback recruit get in contact with J.J. McCarthy last year about NIL, that wouldn't have been a testimonial that you wanted to hear, right? At least from in the collective space.
Yeah.
That has completely changed, but not to the effect that we want to see it have, unfortunately. Hopefully that's
not. I know we imagined that because Michigan has all this money that Michigan was going to immediately, and we were wrong about this. And I think we need to eat some crow on this because we thought back in the maybe 6-7 years ago when we were talking about, oh, why don't they just make this legal and then Michigan would compete, that Michigan would compete. And I think that we've learned, yes, if you add up all the donors, Michigan's got more than everybody else. They really do. They don't have the donors who want to throw money at football players the way that other schools do. And, you know, I made the joke and they got onto Message Board Geniuses for this because when I was in the hospital with my son, I looked at the wall and saw the donor list. And it was the same people that Harbaugh was meeting with that week about his whatever his initiative was to try to raise money for NIL. And I was like, well, that's the problem. Like, we're taking, you know, we're giving money to our hospitals and they're taking money out of their hospitals at LSU. So it's a different priority system. This is not going to stay the way it is right now. And I think that Michigan donors are just not – have never been in that mindset.
Have never been in that mindset. Yeah. You're reconditioning the donor base.
Yeah.
to not just give, but to continue to give.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not just give one time. It's like over and over and over again. They've been doing that for years elsewhere, whereas that's not the case around here.
They were doing it themselves. I mean, the donors at a lot of these places now, you know, Saban got whipped his people into shape and started getting it under control. And then Kirby Smart copied that program. And a lot of schools went to the Saban model of the coaches controlling it themselves. Glad the NCAA was all over this because we knew about it. They had to know at least. But the process had to very slowly get that way from the donors doing it themselves and the donors wanting to, like, help the team themselves. And that's how they feel about it. They're like, okay, you know, Ohio State's saying we haven't beat Michigan and this is terrible. We need to put our money where our mouth is and support this team. And that's what they did, and they gave their team a huge war chest, and the team went out and spent the war chest to get better players. And they've gotten some really good players. They were the number one team in the portal this year. And that helps your team. That's going to help, just like any, you know, just like the Yankees are always going to be better, you know, at acquiring players. Now, the Yankees don't win every single championship, but it helps to do that. And I think people just need to look at it like a job. Where are these kids going? They're looking for, they're in the job market. And when you go to look at a job, one of the things you look at is compensation. It's not the only thing. Sometimes for some people it is, but where am I going to live? Right? What's the work environment like? How am I going to progress from here? How does this help my career goals? All those things matter a great deal in your job search if you're doing it intelligently. And some people value things differently. So when you say, yeah, everyone at Michigan's roster could have gotten more money somewhere else, that's probably true for most people at most jobs.
Yeah, we need to get a break in here. I know. I'm surprised Ira hasn't jumped in. Like, what are we doing, Sam? So we'll take a quick break. I do want to get a word or two in for the softball team. I know you had some things you want to talk about there, Craig. So we'll take a quick break. Yep. Come back on the other side and close things out. MGO Blog Roundtable here on the Michigan Insider of Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.
2 minute break.
All right. Okay. So here's the one from, he says, Tim Lienke said, Stephen Ross could fund our NIL for 100 years, but I mean,
he's already given
$250 million, right?
Right, and he said he wasn't, as I read, Brian disagreed with me about this. It wasn't a real quote. Okay, then I'll stay away from it.
Yeah. I wonder what Stephen Ross's kids feel about all the money he gives to Michigan.
It may as well be a real quote though, because I know that I know that there are donors who have given and they are like, okay, I'm giving now, but this is not, I'm not going to do this forever. Like, I'm not just going to keep, you know, we got to figure something out. We help float you for now, but.
I don't want Michigan chasing anymore. I wish Michigan would start to try to change. Harbaugh did a little bit of this. Harbaugh, you know, actually spoke out for the players and tried to push this along. But I would like to see Michigan just decide, hey, you know what, this system's not working for us. It's not working for anybody. Let's be the agent to change and get out in front of it. And it really just not where this university's mindset is.
I think it's about reconditioning. And I see progress along those lines because, hey, man, I was very adamant about the JJ thing, and I think they relate. Not to say that JJ would have come back. Don't get me wrong, but JJ didn't get a NIL offer until after the Rose Bowl. I think it was after the Rose Bowl
which time the Vikings were already talking to him. By the way,
it was like, 1 minute, guys.
Yeah. So.
And it was like seven figures, but it's like not seven figures is going to keep you from.
At that point, he knew he was going to be a top 10 draft pick. And, you know, that's part of the thing, too. He knew he had an opportunity.
After the championship, man, across the board, all the top guys, man, boom.
Yeah, I think the shift actually happened. There were a couple donors that stepped up, and I think someone changed Ward's mind between the Rose Bowl and the championship. Because I remember there was an event that we all got invited to upstairs in the ballroom at the team hotels before the championship game. And there was just a complete shift. Like, I've been around Jared. I've been around, like, the NIL guys. And just the way that they were talking, the way that they felt was just completely different than it had been when I saw them at the Rose Bowl. It was just a
back in about 10 seconds, guys.
At that point. Right. So I think something changed.
Hmm. Interesting.
My guess was somebody just told Ward Manuel, hey, look, dude, this is That was.
And
but
we're
that's
back
just
on the radio, wrapping the show up in 5, 4, 3.
And we are back here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side. So, Craig, Michigan softball off a Big Ten tournament championship, now taking on Kentucky tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. And so handicap Michigan in that region, handicap their NCAA tournament hopes.
Slim and none. Let me put it that way. I mean, I give Bonnie and this team major props. I mean, they were not a good softball team last year, the first time in many years where they weren't good. And they really turned it around this year, especially after the non-conference season. But they were a really good team in the conference, with the exception of a couple of games. They're probably number one or two in softball in the Midwest, but Midwest softball right now is not what it is in other places. And while I would say Michigan has a chance against Kentucky, they're probably not the favorites there, and winning coming out of that tournament is unlikely.
Yeah, it's a brutal draw.
Kentucky is
underrated. They're underseeded because they have. I mean, Michigan's a brutal draw for them too, because Michigan's a much better team than their seed. But
yeah,
Kentucky like fell behind in a just brutal SEC. You ask where all that talent is that should be in the Midwest. It's in the SEC right now, and Kentucky would have probably dominated the Big Ten, but they're what, like seventh or eighth in the SEC this year, because like there's just so many good teams. And then Oklahoma State is just. You know, they're what Michigan wants to become.
Right.
They're a machine.
And what Michigan did have this year, however, was four really good freshmen in their lineup. Mm-hmm. And their best player in my opinion, is a sophomore. I mean, Matty Erickson is a tremendous third baseman and a fine hitter with power. And they lose one key player next year, apparently, Kiki Thole, who has another year of eligibility, but from my understanding from Ira,
she made it pretty clear at the banquet on Monday
that she's done. But that Michigan has a really good recruiting class coming in. One of them is JJ Putz's, as you might remember, was a pitcher at Michigan and played in the major leagues. And his daughter is a superstar from out in Arizona. And so they'll have her, and they've got a really nice pitcher coming in from Ohio. In fact, two potentially good pitchers from Ohio who are top players. In fact, I think Michigan's got maybe three or four of the top 30 players in the country on one of the recruiting services coming in. So you add that to a team that's young in the first place and a really good defensive team. They're great in center field. They're great at second base. They're great at third base in particular. They're, you know, okay at shortstop. They, you know, this is a program that's on its way up. I liked what I saw this year. And so even though I don't think they're going to get out of that bracket, and where is that, Stillwater? I do think that it's looking good, and what Bonnie and her staff has done this year is quite.
I'd like to
quite
see
admirable.
Them beat Kentucky, but I think Kentucky moved their number one pitcher up for Michigan because they don't even think they're going to beat Oklahoma State either. So they're just like, whatever. Let's beat Michigan and get a win in the playoffs. But I mean, Michigan was kind of lucky to get that Big Ten championship too, because Northwestern, if Michigan's like the Gonzaga of this mid-major Big Ten, you know, the St. Mary's is Northwestern. They become a really good program, and they were the number one seed this year. They had a good season, and they just got upset out of the tournament. And then I think, what was it, Ohio State was pretty good. They got knocked out early. Penn State was another kind of tricky team. They got knocked out early. So we end up playing like Maryland. We end up playing Wisconsin. Like, those aren't the scariest teams. But Michigan was different now. Bonnie's got this team playing good softball. They're not making mistakes. And like the way that they won one of these games is they're running and the ball gets hit back to the pitcher. The pitcher picks the ball up and overthrows the catcher and 2 runs score. So it's like that used to happen to us.
Yep. Yeah, folks, you can catch Michigan in NCAA tournament action tomorrow, 3 o'clock on ESPN2. So be sure to check them out. Appreciate you, Roundtable crew. As always, to the rest of you, we'll see you tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor Accumulus Station.